from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Well, happy 9/11, everybody. That's not a happy day.
No, it's not.
It's a day to... You know what? It's one of those days that people would probably want us to talk about. We're not going to talk anything about 9/11, I've decided, during the show. I don't want to talk about it.
Not about nothing at all.
Well, what do you want to what do you want to talk about in terms of 9/11?
Well, I don't really have much to talk about in terms of 9/11. I personally wanted to see what the truthers were up to, because I've been reading Michael Shermer as of late, so I'm like, ooh, conspiracy theories. Let's look at that. But at the same time, there's no new evidence. And it's just crazy
it's
people
the same
yelling.
Fucking shit all the time. These people are always saying, like, yeah, that's impossible for a plane to have crashed in a building and that building go down. Someone must have, it must have been a government plan. I'm like, what the fuck? People who still think that those passengers are alive on some island.
On the island, yeah. No, it's total bullshit.
Maybe they watch too much Lost. I don't know if you can actually get away with that shit.
It turns out at the series finale, they're the survivors of 9/11.
That's not a good... No,
that's an American show. They would never do that.
Hopefully, I managed to fit the intro song that I wanted to put in, which was They Might Be Giants, Science Is Real, which is just an awesome little song. If you went to the site and you played it, or if you haven't done it, go to the site right now. It's on the sidebar. You need to listen to it, and you need to listen to it like 10 times.
Yeah, you'll want to. It's a very catchy song. It gets stuck in your head. I think my neighbors probably hated me. The landlord was doing work on my apartment, and like the sound really travels from my bedroom to outdoors. And I was playing that song like over and over.
Considering
and over.
It's less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, seriously. No, it's like...
I know that science is real.
I understand.
Enough.
Enough with the reality.
I have
science.
That bad fucking compulsion myself to listen to songs that I like again and again and again. I want to commit them to memory, so that's the best trick. Usually, if you want to commit anything to memory, just...
Repetition.
And it, you know what's really interesting about why you remember it more? Well, it turns out that, you know, when your brain cells, like in between sort of like the neurons, there are synapses, right?
And right.
They're responsible for sending electrical signals from one to another. Now, the first time an a signal tries to travel from one neuron to the next, it's difficult. But the more it does so, the more easily it can move. So essentially, you just have to send that electricity to go through again and again and again. And next thing you know, it gets easier every time you do it. So
it's interesting.
You know what? There's a lot of ways actually. These are interesting ways that people can hack their own brain to improve their memory. One of the ways that people do this, and this is pretty fucking cool. What they do is let's pretend you have a deck of cards and you're trying to remember each of those cards in order by only looking at those cards once. You might think, holy shit! How can you handle that much load? Right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a guy I was watching in a documentary. He had a really cool way to do it. What he would do is he would go on a walk. He lived in England. So he'd go on a walk, and he would look at landmarks. So he'd look at Big Ben. He'd look at, I don't know, the other
right,
landmarks.
Landmark,
whatever,
landmarks.
Some bridge, Buckingham Palace, blah, blah, blah. The touristy fucking parts that most British people wouldn't even touch with a 10-foot pole. They're like, fuck that noise. That's for the tourists. That's annoying. That's where, you know, loud fat Americans go.
to take pictures and try to get those guards to talk.
Yeah, exactly. The bullshit touristy stuff. But what he would also do is he would also try to think about objects. So he'd think about, for every single one of those cards, he would associate it with, say, the Queen of Diamonds with a baseball or the Jack with a puppy or something like that. He was just creating simple associations. So then what he would do is that once he looked at the cards, he would start a story. So from whatever point that he started, he's like, I was walking and I saw a pony walking down with my aunt and all this exactly right. And then he just continues, and next thing you know, that one guy could memorize 7 decks of cards in just one pass looking at all of them.
Okay.
He was able to tell you from memory if you said okay, third deck, fourth card, he could tell you what it was.
That's crazy.
All he had to do was go back in his story and remember what the sequence of events. And then
that's a mnemonic device.
Exactly. So, and he was saying that there was nothing very unique about his brain. that's just the way that he, just a trick that he had thought up. And you know what? It's hard for you to remember things that are abstract, but really easy for you to remember things that are more concrete.
Yeah.
Because that's your life. You don't live in the abstract. You live in the fucking now. You live in the, I need to eat. Not just, you know, I'm just going to sit here and think and philosophize. No, you're not to eat.
I still can only remember the order of the planets using that phrase there. My very early morning jam sandwich.
No.
Is usually
really? You need that?
I need that.
Wow.
I need that.
Yeah. Well, they're good. They're
at
good
least
tricks.
Never shredded weed is gone.
They're good. No, I still myself. Yeah, I'm instinctivized to do it. Every time I'm like, where am I? Never eat shredded wheat. And I'm like, what a terrible thing to say for Shreddies.
Yeah, seriously.
Poor Shreddies.
Well,
shredded wheats in general.
Well, shredded wheat isn't Shreddies.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Shreddies are the little squares.
Never eat Shreddies whenever. That's my new one.
I don't think it's going to catch.
No, you don't think so?
Never eat Shreddies whenever. Well, considering I don't think they have Shreddies outside of Canada, isn't that a Canada thing?
I don't know. I have not. You know, I don't travel a lot. This is one of those
you
things where I'm not a, I am not a worldly man. Okay?
We don't have Cookie Crisp, man.
I'm the fucking, you know what I am? I am the opposite of David Attenborough. I am just not a well-traveled man.
I'm less well-traveled than you, my friend.
Yeah, I know. I've been on one plane. You have never been on any plane.
The furthest that I've ever been from home was I've been to Ontario and I've been to New Hampshire. That's as far as I've ever gone.
Well, you know, Kant never traveled more than like 5 kilometers from his home in his entire life.
Yeah, was he bored out of his skull too?
I don't know. I'm sure he probably not. You know, thinking about logical positivism and all these other kinds of things.
Yeah, I don't have the brain capacity for that. I want to see things and
experience.
I want to make those guards talk. I could do it.
Oh yes, for all of those of you that are not aware. Ryan isn't my co-host. It's actually Jeff. I forgot to mention the fact that.
Oh,
you were,
did I not? Oh,
I don't think we did
an
improper
intro.
Intro.
People couldn't figure it out. I suppose it would have helped if I had made the joke about handling the big load earlier.
Well, you know, you're on often enough that.
Do people recognize my voice?
Oh, well, you know, I a couple of days ago, this will actually segue me into one of the things I wanted to talk about. The first thing I want to talk about, which is basically, I was asking a bunch of the podcasting fans to give me some feedback on the podcast because. Next weekend, not this weekend, but the weekend after, I have a presentation to give for PodCamp Montreal, which is pretty much where bloggers and podcasters are coming. I had presented them.
It's one giant mother's basement.
It's not quite that bad. Shut up. We're trying to get people that.
Pissing on your parade.
We have fans in Montreal. They're not many, but I know they're there because I get PayPal receipts and stuff. So I know where you live. Anyways,
continue your story.
So basically, yeah, I had presented the idea of putting together a presentation to describe freemium and podcasting because I wanted to tell people that hey, I've been trying this whole freemium experiment on my podcast, and so far it's a pretty big success and the people that have paid, some of them have paid way more than I ever asked for. Because, you know, I give people the option to give more if they want to give more. And people do take that option. Hmm. And I wanted to talk about what I figured out so far. But, you know, there's also a lot of things about this podcasting game that I am not aware. Like, my first question was like, what the fuck do you people like about the show? That's the first question. You know, everybody might take that for granted. But for God's sakes, I just hit the record button, people.
It's true.
And I put that fucking shit out there.
I'm a witness.
He's a witness.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was sitting leisurely on a couch 5 minutes ago. And
I was telling you, sit down in this fucking chair.
Sit in the chair. We're recording a podcast. I'm like, huh, what?
I'm a taskmaster. That's
he
what
really
you
is.
Sound
he really He's very skilled with a whip. See, now they know it's me.
You big gay boy. Anyway, so I had asked some of the fans for feedback. Now, I came to two conclusions about why you guys probably like the show. These conclusions are not, you know, cemented yet. If you want to go to the site and on this podcast or on the post itself, you can provide your own comments if you think I'm wrong. But essentially what I gather is that you guys like the fact that it's a conversational in nature and it doesn't have like some kind of news type of today's events.
You can't see this, but he's holding an imaginary earpiece.
I'm a performance artist, and I'm sure that there's elements that they may be missing from just only listening to a podcast.
Well, that's what happened with me when we were doing the was it a bonus podcast with the three of us?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, is it waving or something?
Yeah. Well, no. What would end up happening is just I would just be watching. It would be like watching. Like they'll notice if they play it back. I said like three things because eventually you guys just started talking and I fell into the I'm listening to the podcast mode and I was just like, oh, this is so, like,
well, a great podcast.
I'm getting a sneak peek at the podcast. Oh, what am I supposed to contribute?
I never actually thought of that. It's probably one of the problems with the three people dynamic. Yeah. Plus, I mean, some people were complaining that the sound quality wasn't that good.
Well, we tried a setup.
The setup didn't really work that well. I don't yet have the technology to make it work. I mean, the limitations are just I have two Phantom powered mics. I can't get three without going and buying a much more expensive external sound card. And that's
okay.
Not
what about
happen.
That USB mic you have? Actually,
You can't run two. You run one or the other. So the whole thing is you need a sound card that has the ability to handle multiple Phantom powered mics. We have one that it's suitable for two, but at three, the sound quality begins to degrade and that kind of stuff. Oh. And it was an experiment and for now we're not going to do that again because I take a lot of pride in the sound fucking quality and fidelity of the podcast. Mm-hmm. I think you probably will agree that there's not a lot of podcasts that go to that extra trouble.
No, a lot of them sound like you're hearing it from inside an old coffee can.
A lot of them sound like what mine used to sound like. Not even that. I remember back in the old days, somebody somebody emailed me saying, wow, your podcasts sound really great. This is when I was actually using just the USB mic. Crouched over.
Everybody had to gather. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, that was just uncomfortable because you'd have to sit right next to someone and I don't even want to go back to those days.
And I drink a lot of coffee.
If anybody had any hygiene issues, you'd know right away.
Yeah.
But even then, people were asking me, how do you do, why is the quality like this good and that kind of stuff? And my only answer was, I don't conduct phone interviews that sound like they're in a tin can. So I'm like, just get somebody
Skype interviews.
Yeah, the technology's not there yet. And unfortunately, you know, when the technology gets better where I can actually have conversations with people and it doesn't sound terrible, I'd do it. But the honest truth is the reason that we don't have anybody on the show like that, maybe I'd like to get PZ Myers on or some of the other people. We could probably interest them to do it. I would love to do it. But technology-wise, it's always failing. And the last thing I want to do is an interview that cannot be put up. Just because the technical aspects of it are not really cemented. So, suck it!
To-do
list! Suck it, everyone! Fucking suck it! Okay, maybe not. Maybe that's not what I'm saying. But, so I had asked a number of people what they thought. And people were, a couple people were mentioning how much they liked you coming on the show. Which is why I have you here. Fans ask for it. They were like, where's Jeff? We like Jeff. He's funny. So, sweet. You have a fan base, sir.
I have a fan base. Thank you, fans.
I don't know how big that is, and I'm sure there's a couple gay dudes that are listening to it right now. They're probably fantasizing about you.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm huge.
There you go. I did my part.
Thank you, sir.
I did my part for you. You can't say that I didn't try
there's
to hook you up.
There's going
to
be some good atheist fanfic going out on the internet.
The last thing I want to say on this is, if you're in Montreal in the area, I don't have the schedule yet. I'm going to... Hopefully you've been to put it on the site because basically the presentation is on either Saturday or Sunday. So I'll have released a podcast before then, but don't wait for the next podcast to get the information because I'm going to be recording that one and putting it up Friday. So it doesn't give you much of a time.
Right.
Stay tuned on the site. I'm going to Twitter about it. I'm going to try to promote it as much as I can. So if you guys are in the area and you want to come and just talk to other bloggers, if you're involved in the new media and shit like that, just come on over and say hello. Say hello if you can.
I might be there if it's on Saturday as well.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Or call in sick on Sunday.
Shh,
that's a little secret.
Seriously.
You're coming down with something, right? I heard you cough before.
Yeah.
Who you may have swine flu.
I might.
Get the fuck out of my house.
I ate some questionable meat.
Get out of my isolated world, quarantined world.
Your contaminated garage.
Contaminated. It's not contaminated with swine flu.
No, it's about everything else.
With human filth.
Exactly.
Okay, I want to talk about something that you probably didn't see this, but I was watching this last night and I could not get it out of my head. Have you ever seen those Maury Povich shows where do the paternity testing? Have you ever seen those? I put up a video about. It was a comedy video about Joseph finding that he's not the father, and he has the whole, in your face reaction.
Yeah.
And I went back and watched the videos, and one of the things that I said was, "This is what's scary is that this is the real reaction of people, yeah. right? So guys find out they're not the fathers, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah,
I don't
yeah.
have to take care of a kid.
Now, here's what I wanted to ask. What is the legacy of the Maury Povich paternity test show? What the fuck is going to happen to all those kids? Because now they probably are hundreds of kids that went through his little rigmarole.
Some of them are probably around like 10, 12.
Sure. I mean, and they, like and I mean, it's on the internet. You can yeah. see it. I mean, you're going to recognize it. I'm sure people are talking about it because every time I look at one of those videos, the views are many hundreds of
and
thousands.
Like the last comments like an hour ago kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. People are watching it all the time. Now, is there going to be a couple really fucked up kids that basically grew up with that shit? Because, you know, are you going to feel good about some guy jumping around ecstatic that you are not their child?
Well, I'd also there's that, and also, could you imagine, like, your mom didn't know... Like, your mom slept around so much, she didn't know who your dad was. Like,
it's pretty
like,
bad.
That's a self-esteem killer right there.
Well, here's the thing. The reason I was thinking about it is because this shit happens, and it doesn't matter what demographic. Poor, rich, whatever. If you look at the general statistics, there was a study done in the 1970s. This basically, it was a simple blood test analysis that the scientists wanted to do. You can read about it on The Third Chimpanzee. This is where the study is talked about. Because I don't remember any specifics about it. But what I do remember was that he couldn't release the findings because it turned out that 10% of the children that he tested were not genetically related to their supposed fathers. And that was really fucking controversial. He could not release that stuff. And I'm sure that if you did this findings, you'd probably find something similar. Look, it happens. People get cockled all the fucking time, okay? And there are probably lots of people that are not... You know, if you go back in your own life, if you look at sort of like, okay, what's my ancestry? My advice to you is look at the line... look at the women in the line. If you do the paternity thing, you're wasting your fucking time because one of those links might be completely fucking off. But the only thing you can be sure of is your mom is your mom. 100 goddamn percent. Your mom is your mom. But your dad, yeah, he might be the mailman. He might be the fucking mailman. But, I mean, it used to be that... When it's not in the public eye, when it's something that's, you know, usually handled privately, I think that it can at least not be as bad as really just watching this made me feel really depressed for humanity. I'll be honest with you.
Well, that's usually what happens to me when I watch any of those, like, Maury, Jerry Springer. Is that even on anymore? But yeah, those.
Yeah,
guys,
Jerry Springer's still on, I'm pretty sure.
It's the freaking dregs of society. I hate to sound so elitist, but my God, you get the nastiest people on there, and then you freaking...
Well, who knows what they're really like? Because
you turn on the camera, you add the dramatization. Yeah, yeah.
It's the showiness. It's basically mm-hmm. the circus element of this of these kinds of shows yeah. that has me just shaking my fucking head because there is fallout from that.
Well, it's the same thing with the whole Judge Judy crap too.
What do you mean? What specifically?
Wow, it's basically taking people either at their most... Well, their least glamorous, let's say. Their most, I don't know, angry, frustrated, emotionally vulnerable. And then just capitalizing on it. Like, because I don't know anybody who watches these shows to learn. Like, do you watch Judge Judy to learn about law? No, you want to know what kind of crazy shit's going on like,
well, I'll tell
who's
you,
suing over what today and what kind of crazy ass... shit's gonna go down like on the show. You
yeah, but
yeah,
with Judge Judy, I think that there is one kind of minor advantage. And the advantage is at least when you watch the show, usually the retard loses. So the guy who had this ridiculous sort
like
of, I'm gonna sue because I was sad, burr. It's just
burr.
Like, no, you can't sue that. So
yeah.
at the very least.
Oh my, yeah.
At the very least, it kind of there's a negative incentive to go on the show because, I mean, if you're a dumbass, you're going to just lose and look like a fool and at least have some shame. The reason why I kept thinking about the Povich paternity test thing, though, is because there's a third party involved here that didn't want to be involved. But they're now through just from the sheer fact that the internet forgets nothing. And it's like a gigantic, unglorious snapshot that I'm like, how do you deal with being the child of one of these people? You know? How the fuck
do you
live
that
it?
Down? You're not even born yet, and already like you've got your high school teasings lined up for you before you're even born.
I think that the rules that you apply to yourself are not rules that you should apply to your children. So if you want to make a fool yourself on fucking Jerry Springer, it's no problem. But for God's sakes, don't include your damn kids. That's just the lowest of the fucking low.
Yeah, I'd concur with that. Yeah, for sure.
Anyways, that was my fucking little rant on just the Maury Povich thing. I had to talk about it. I don't know if people think, oh, this is related to atheism. Fuck you. I don't need to paint myself in a corner.
Well, I think the existence of the Maury Povich show is proof there's no God.
There you go.
Thank you. That's the spin for today.
That is a good spin.
Thank you.
Speaking of spin, I have to make a confession, and I'm making a confession to all you fans out there. And this is just again from asking people feedback on the show. There was one thing that I was reminded of that I keep forgetting. You who listen to the show, you should have told me about this because I never remember the promises I keep on the shows. Just like, for instance, one of the podcasts, I had promised that I was going to talk. The next show was going to be on Buddhism.
Oh.
And then I completely fucking forgot about it.
Well, here's the thing is, I watch the way that I view the podcast, because I subscribe to them. I get the bonus ones as well. And I just listen to them all as sort of a set, right? So, like, if you don't do it on the next one, I just assume, oh, I'm listening to the bonus one. And then it's out of sight, out of mind on the next one. I don't...
Yeah, so like, what you're saying is people wouldn't complain if they had the bonus show. That's what you're saying. I like the way you think.
Let's go with that. Let's go with that.
I like the way you think, sir. But, well, hopefully most people are kind of like similar to you, haven't noticed, because by the time you listen to the other one, you forgot all my pillow talk.
Exactly. A week is a long time on the internet.
It is a lifetime, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
But I did want to kind of not necessarily apologize, but I think that I'm going to take this stance that whatever I say that I'm going to do next show, that's a joke. I'm not going to do it. So that's how I...
How
next week, Scientology! I think it could become a funny in-joke that I would like to start.
It would be kind of like in Arrested Development when they're like, next time on Arrested
Development,
and nothing happens.
Exactly! Because it's funnier? Or maybe...
Let's go with that. It's that entertainment thing that makes you the cut above.
Was that I'm edutainment. So yeah. Was that sycophantic enough? I don't know. I guess it'll depend to see how many memberships we sell.
As much at the
end
we
of this
generate,
podcast.
We'll see.
Which is, you know, here's a funny. This is another thing. A couple of the fans were saying, stop mentioning the bonus podcast and stuff like that. We've heard it already and we know about it. Now, I know that you think probably everybody's heard about it and I should probably stop talking about it. I have bills to pay. fucking bills to pay.
I just skipped the last 2 seconds of your podcast. Like,
there you
okay,
go. Exactly. I'm going to keep that stuff for the end. So when I give the spiel, if you don't want to hear it, and don't listen to it, but I will always button. Give the spiel at the end to get people to do it, because if they haven't heard it, they should probably hear it. And it's how I can, you know, break.
It's his bread and butter.
It's
seriously.
My bread and butter. Yeah.
He's starving. I had a poutine in front of him today, and he was salivating the whole time. I didn't share because I don't have God to tell me that I need to.
Well, you know, this is actually one of those things that I wanted to talk about the presentation, which is specifically getting people to pay for things that they get for free is a unique challenge to anybody, because, you know, you start off, the show is free. The whole idea is I'm going to produce more and try to charge for it. But at the same time, people are like, well, I get a free one. Why the fuck would I want to pay for it?
Yeah.
And it's a normal impulse because how many podcasts do I pay for? I will be honest with you and tell you that none. I don't pay for any podcasts. But I'm not actually a fan of podcasts.
I was about to say, don't you, like, routinely, you and Ryan, go on these tirades about how other podcasts are very dull?
I hate to admit it, but yeah, that is kind of...
I have the same thing happen when I'm looking at podcasts or, like, YouTube videos. Like, those YouTube friggin' videos where it's like, Pat Condal aside, those videos where people are just talking into their webcam, it's like, shut up.
Response videos and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I never
like,
really got into that.
Up.
And it's I'm sure it's really lucrative because there's a lot of eyeballs that will look, but I never felt as though the eyeballs that look are, you know, there's any quality to them. And it's really difficult to kind of get the gel and the feel of a community, which is essentially what I try to do with the show. I want people to kind of have a bit of an interactivity with me, and hopefully that'll... As the membership grows, as the patronage grows, that's the plan.
Plus,
but what were you going
to
say?
Oh, just the other thing about like YouTube responses to, well, to bring it to atheism, to atheist topics, debates, you can tell within the first like 20 seconds of the video what their angle is going to be and what arguments they're going to use anyway. You know, like you can always tell like, well, Hitler and stop.
Here's the thing. I've generally, the way that I look at the show and the way that I try to structure the show is I don't want to just you know, I don't want to sit down, try to come up with a bunch of quotes and facts that I'm going to tell you so that you can go out and start defending atheism.
Yeah.
That's not my appeal. My appeal, and this is what I think it is, and again, I want feedback. My appeal is I think individuals like me railing on shit.
Yeah.
This is what I've gathered. Like
everybody loves a curmudgeon.
Yeah, there you go. You out there, you listener, you are frustrated from a bunch of things, mostly religious people. They frustrate the fuck out of you. What do you want to hear? You want to hear a guy that's going to talk shit about it a little so you can be like, yeah, roast him a little bit. And that's kind of the
South Park appeal.
Yeah, the South Park. You know, the fact is I am a little bit aggressive. I think that that's what people like. I take a very, I don't like bullshit and I don't like stupidity stance. And again, I mean, maybe it is a little bit aggressive, but fuck, man, we get tired of being passive as atheists. So a little bit of aggressivity is the order of the day, and I think
isn't it aggression?
I just made up a word, motherfucker.
Aggressivity. Aggressivity, is that like truthiness?
Maybe it's going to be the new word, man.
That should be on a shirt.
Aggressivity. It doesn't even make sense. It's one of those words I'm going to regret later.
Yeah,
I misunderestimated that word. The impact was negative. All right, here's the last thing I want to talk about, because this is just kind of funny. I mentioned it today on one of the articles, which the story about a pastor by the name of Father Pereira. Am I pronouncing that right?
It's Jose Mark Flores Pereira, I think, or Pereira.
Pereira? Okay. Yeah. Jose Mark Flores Pereira. Whatever. God, I'm terrible pronouncing names. I have a phonetics dictionary for people's weird last names. Just not used to pronouncing them. Anyways,
it brings out your
he is a Bolivian who has been living in Mexico for about 17 years. And on September 9th, 2009...
That's 999.
That's 999, everybody. He decided that he was going to hijack a plane because he had had a revelation from God that something terrible was going to happen in Mexico.
And why did he have such a revelation, Jacob?
Well, it turns out that according to his wife, he has serious mental problems. What a surprise. Although I'll tell you what's weird. What's weird is that his mother in the interview, his mother admitted that she knew of the plan, but because her son said that he had been divinely ordained by God, she was like, well, God bless you. So he basically took a bunch of juice cans, put some little lights on it to make it look like a bomb. Juice cans. And that was his fake bomb. And he hijacked the plane because he wanted to have the president of Mexico give an address in Mexico City's Central Square about the gospel. He needed him to read it because he's like, well, 999 upside down.
Yeah.
It's 666.
I would like to see what he was doing June 6th, 3 years ago.
Actually, he was probably in jail. You see, he's a recovering drug addict and criminal who was...
And you're saying his brain wasn't all there?
I know that this is very surprising.
That startles me.
You know, it just reminds me of the fact that there must be so many people out there. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are. They must be fairly significant. Individuals out there who have serious mental issues that are being masqueraded by, you know, religious fervor. A person just says, oh, well, he's very religious. Yeah, how can you make that distinction between a guy who's just really religious and a guy who's not fucking batshit crazy? And, you know, my answer to that question is, do I even care about the distinction anymore?
601.
The distinction is very weak. I think that any fervor in something that is just literally unprovable, we should kind of regard with suspicion. Any person who has a conviction that they're talking to or that a God is talking to them is the first instance of possible psychopathy, okay? On a list of things, that's usually one they ask, too, but isn't it funny that we're all uncomfortable that it turns out that even people that we would consider to be normal have beliefs that in the slight extreme we consider to be psychopathy, you know, psychopathic in nature.
Right.
So where do we draw that line? Where the hell do we draw that line?
I would have drawn the line as soon as he said hijack a plane. I was thinking, like, God or no God, if you're going to do something crazy and illegal, like, stop. It's a bad idea.
It's not even just illegal. I mean, think about how dangerous it is to hijack a plane, because, you know, there's bound to be people who will either take you down, like you'll either lose your life or people could panic or who knows what the hell could happen.
Yeah, but I'm not so much concerned with the guy doing the hijacking. If he gets hurt, you know what I mean?
Right, but I mean, he has a mental fucking problem. I mean, it's not like I look at this guy and be like, you should have known better, guy. He needs medication.
Well,
he needs help.
His mother should have known better. It was his mother that was like, go ahead, right?
Yeah, well, she gave her blessing.
Short?
She gave her blessing.
Yeah.
That's my attention span that short. Maybe. I don't know. I ain't your fucking
so
pappy.
So anyways, it was his aunt who should have been telling him that...
You're doing
no,
a terrible job.
I mean, okay, so...
Terrible!
Terrible!
You're fired.
Oh, man. I'll see you guys later. It was fun while I was...
Take your 40 cents and get the fuck out of here. That's your severance pay.
My severance is 40 cents. Well, but no, in all seriousness... If you had I was speaking in general terms. If someone wants to do something crazy and they get hurt in the process, my concern would be more with the people that they could be hurting. That's where I was getting at.
Obviously, there's going to be...
Yeah, I mean...
There's going to be a bit of a priority if you're saying, well, I can shoot him and save 40 people.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the second option?
Yeah, exactly.
Bam!
Or he can shoot 40 people and have done with it.
Exactly.
But I would think that if someone was aware of what he was doing and knows he has a history of it, like, couldn't she be in a way like an accessory or an accomplice, rather? Like, wouldn't... I don't know how the law would...
I really don't
if
know.
She knew what
I don't
was
want to speak on something I have no fucking clue about. And I don't think that they would seek
to
prosecute
that,
her.
So,
they're not going to say, like, you bitch. You could have stopped that man, but you didn't.
Yeah, I think...
I don't even think most people would have stopped him. Because...
No,
well, okay, maybe that most people would have, but
well,
geez, there's a contingent of people that just wouldn't. They're like, oh my goodness, you got a revelation. You better do something about it.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying. I'm just saying I would put that does put if she knew. But I mean, if she knew he was prone to craziness, why? Like, how did she discern that the voice from God was the voice of God and not, oh, it's crazy Jose saying...
Well,
how many?
If you had a family member that was acting kind of weird, would you want to put them in a mental institution?
No.
So there is
in a mental institution.
Well, what else are you supposed to do? He has his own mind and his own freedom. If he decides to do something, either you put him in a fucking mental institution or you break his legs a la Misery.
Or you tell him not to stick and hijack a plane.
Oh, well, maybe somebody said don't do that, but as soon as he said, well, God told me to, now you have only two options.
All right, well, I would probably tell the police that he's going to hijack a plane.
All right, well, in doing so, you may ruin your relationship with that family member, too. I mean, they may feel betrayed. They may...
Not my son.
I'm just saying
no,
that it's not as black
and
white.
It's obviously harder when there's an emotional bond. I won't argue that at all. It probably is a hard decision, but objectively speaking, you know, she would have... I think she had a responsibility to the... Let's say society... such as it is to
well we have I think in
it.
General we all have a responsibility that we need to stop trying to be overly politically correct and recognize when someone's religious fervor is bordering on the psychopathic.
It's out of line.
It's really, you know, people who are calling for violent jihads and or individuals that are killing abortion doctors, these are extremes. These are types of behaviors where we're like, this is unhealthy, something is wrong with this person. And I don't think we would be surprised to find that a lot of these extremists have serious either psychological issues or, you know, mental health issues. It's not that fucking surprising. A lot of these people find something very attractive about religion. Usually what they find attractive about religion is that it has such a, you know, like a very firm structure. You just follow what the book says.
Yeah.
The problem is if they follow what the book says, the instruction manual is really messed up, okay?
Yeah, that IKEA desk is going to look pretty fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's essentially one of the things that I've always said is that any person who thinks that the Bible is a good manual has not read the full thing or has at least done some very careful editing.
Yeah, the acrobatics, it's not uncommon. Spiritual acrobatics when you read the Bible. Well, that's literal. That's figurative.
And, you know, there are parts, well, I don't know in the Bible, but I do know in the Quran, there is a part that says specifically that you are not supposed to interpret things yourself. It's laid out there and you're supposed to follow
it. I think it says in the Bible something online that not even like you
well, the
you
New
can't
Testament.
Add, you can't remove, you can't do anything with it, you take it as it is. I believe it's in the Bible, but again, I've not read the full
New, I know that the New Testament basically that Jesus says that he's not there to change up the
yeah,
old laws.
To rewrite God's laws. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Even though most Christians say that he did merely by
existing,
Which
and
I guess,
dying for your sins.
Shedding so much blood. So much of it. If you want to see how much, watch The Passion of the Christ. Or better yet, here's an idea. Fucking don't. Do not waste your time watching film.
Seriously. Well, that's what one of my friends like was talking to me about that whole, like, you know, Passion of the Christ is such a great movie, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, it might be for you, but for me, it would be like watching them beat the shit out of a guy who is probably a nice guy for like an hour or
it's not
two
just
hours.
Even beating the shit. It's torturing.
Torturing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, I don't get off on that. Like, I don't know why you get off on that. Like, who is the comedian who was saying, like, the last thing if I were Jesus that I'd want to see is a bunch of people seeing him dead, like, hanging, like, the celebration
I don't
of
know.
His death.
I don't know.
It was pretty much like...
There is a sick morbidity to it. I
exactly,
mean, it's
yeah.
It's not as though Christianity has always... had such a fascination about the more bloody elements of it. I mean, their first religious symbol was not a cross. It was a fish, a symbol of life. Cross is a symbol of death. But I think that's what happens when you switch the focus to that of to resurrection, basically. Because, I mean, most Christians really focus on that. They're like, well, that's what it's all about. He died and he came back.
Yeah.
Bam! That's
checkmate!
The, exactly, exactly. That's their checkmate. So you either accept that or you don't. And if you don't, well,
don't change the fact that he came back. Remember, there was no body in that tomb.
There was not.
That,
there was no
that,
body.
That proves that he flew away.
I think that definitely proves that there are some very morbid grave robbers.
Seriously,
but I would, if there was a messianic like figure, I would probably steal their bodies and chop up their bones and make little necklaces out of them myself. So
there you go.
Is that more morbid?
I'm
an opportunist. Look, those bones are going to go to waste.
They're just going to turn to dust anyway. Why don't they turn to dust while they're in these beautiful jars available now for $39.95?
You don't. The Catholic Church has a lot of these kinds of relics, man. They're the Oratoire Saint Joseph, which is in Montreal, and it's kind of like probably one of the more beautiful churches that you can visit.
There's a lot of really nice churches in Montreal.
There are quite a few. Yeah, there are quite a few. But the oratory is probably the crown jewel of it. And inside is a weird mummified heart of St. Joseph. I've visited it. I've seen it. It's quite disgusting, sir. But, you know, there's always a few people that are crawling up the stairs in the hopes that they're going to be healed. And we have those fucking people over here, man. Have you ever visited the place?
No, I don't. The gay.
It's free, you know.
He doesn't really want to go to church. I don't know.
I view it more as, look, the same way that I would look at the Temple of Zeus in Athens or...
Oh, it's not for me. I just think I would make people uncomfortable.
What, by your presence?
I don't know.
I don't think most of the people that visited are even that religious. They're probably just like
touristy.
Me. They're very touristy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a spot
well,
to visit.
Well, it is it's an attraction.
I don't know how much
check out this mummified heart. Then we're going to the road.
That is the fucking sequence of events. You had your bets. You're like, well, I don't know if
I... It's such a downer, man. We'll go to La Ronde afterward.
No, you had your bets. You're like, well, we're going to go here, and in case we're healed of any of our sicknesses, then we go to La Ronde.
Then we'll go to La Ronde.
It'll be a happy day. Look, I can walk again. It's a miracle. Yay, time to go to La Ronde. And if you don't walk, well, you're going to go home.
Well, most of the rides at La Ronde you can sit on anyway, so...
I don't know if you. I don't know if they accept people in wheelchairs in La Ronde. Do they?
I've only been to La Ronde once. I went on one ride, and I was dizzy the rest of the time I was there. I have no like.
Wow.
I had no.
You're like a grandmother.
No, it's okay. Let me.
Oh, I went on the ride and I got all dizzy.
Man, Mercedes. No. Here's what happened. Okay, I was with my friend. She was visiting. I don't have friends.
This is a lie.
Okay. I'm a liar. Okay. Anyways. I'm going to tell my
story.
You
were with your friend.
I was with my friend, and we were at La Ronde. She was visiting from California, and so she'd never been. So we went there. But all the rides had these huge lineups except for one.
Which was?
I can't remember what it's called. It's like it's the huge one. It's like Behemoth or...
I don't know.
I don't remember what it's called. It's a crazy...
The Colossus or something.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy ride. It's real. But the thing is the entrance was like this sort of King Kong entrance, right? But there was no lineup. So we're like, oh, well, we'll go on this ride. There's no line. And we get in, and the lineup only starts once you're through those gates. We were in that lineup for, I think it was... I want to say 3 hours, but that seems so ridiculous that it can't be. But
it probably was.
Yeah, I seem to recall we got there at like 9 or something and didn't get off of that thing until like 3. Anyways, but after we did that, because I'd never been on a roller coaster since I was like, what, Santa's Village when I was like 10.
Wow.
So like, I got off of that. I'm just like, I wasn't prepared for this. I have to sit down.
All right, you went a little bit too much off the deep end. It's kind of like learning how to dive on a 10-meter platform. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
For those of you that don't know what a meter is, I'd say roughly 24 feet.
No, it's not just 24 feet.
It's 22 feet, probably.
No, 22.
It's 2.2.
22 inches.
I said 10 meters, pal.
Oh, I thought you said 1 meter.
You're insane. Okay, truth is, I don't know actually how many feet it is.
In any event, 10 meters is about the length of...
of a lot.
Yeah.
The height of your house, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe more. Maybe more.
Yeah,
anyways, it's high. I don't know feet because, honestly, why am I using feet?
Base 10
is where it's at. America, you guys, if you want to really...
get that together.
I think that they should actually switch over to the metric system as one of those. We are going to go with science. You know what I mean? Because right now, the whole holding on to feet and yards and meters...
arbitrary units.
It just smacks to me that you never really kind of jumped on the whole science bandwagon. And it's going to leave you behind and embarrassing things happen. Remember a couple years back when one of those Mars probes crash-landed because they had made a conversion issue? There was a conversion problem because they were using feet and the European Space Agency was using meters. I mean, come on,
isn't
guys.
Is the rest of the world on meters?
Yes, there's only 2 fucking countries in the world that still use that system. Only 2. And the other one, I think, is Ghana. It's just not really like the whole world has taken off with this. And the only place that where it's maintained is...
base 10 thing.
The only thing it places is America. Now, all credit where credit is due, they've estimated that if they switched over, it would cost them like a few billion dollars, like many hundreds of billions of dollars to convert.
Oh, because they'd have to change everything.
They'd have to change everything.
Wow.
So I'm like, you got to do it before it's too late. What are you still going to be using that in 100 fucking years? It'd be embarrassing. Just embarrassing. You know what? The metric system is the language of science. I ever tell you what actually how they got the meter, how they measured the meter?
No.
Where the meter comes from? No. The meter was actually, is supposed to be 1/100,000th of the length of one of the meridians. So if basically, you know how the Earth is, you can divide the Earth into into meridians. They're basically because it's mostly a circle. You can give chunks and we use like you know, like time differentials to measure the distance, you know, it's like a 1 hour kind of thing. So in during the French Revolution, they actually had scientists that or dudes that were measuring the length in order to be able to kind of come up with a scientific unit of measurement. Now, the funny thing about the first meter is that it was actually wrong. The calculation made it so that it was slightly off. Okay. And even the meter that was cast into platinum, which is in France somewhere in a museum, even that one's off. We have made that correction since. So the meter really is sort of 1/100,000th or whatever the number is of one of those meridians. But the original number was wrong. But still, I mean, it was an attempt to say, let's use a non-arbitrary unit of measurement.
Like logical,
And the funny thing about when they were taking the measurement is that the French countryside was ablaze in basically the French Revolution, which was the most irrational, violent aspect of their society. And at the same time, this survey is going on, and they're trying to... there's a book that was written, actually, about it. What's it called again? The Units of Measure or something like that? Anyways. Very interesting story, but that's the story of the meter.
About 5 books, and 3 of them are strategy guides.
Well, you have many books. You just like to read the first 10 pages, right?
Well, here's what happens is... Actually, this is going to paint me as such an illiterate. I do read books, and I do read a lot. I just... Reading from cover to cover, I tend to lose interest very quickly. Like, I'll get a book, and I'll read on the way to the bus or something, but then I'll get to this point where I can't get past a certain page because there's too much stuff happening and I have to constantly put the book down and stop. And I'm just like, I'm so sick of looking at this book, and then I get a new one. I have like a bunch of books that have bookmarks anywhere between like 15 and 40. Just
essentially, I think the problem is that you want to know more of the stuff in the books than you do. You want to know it more than you want to read it. So you'll get the book with the hope that you'll learn it. But the passion to read it is not quite as
high. A lot of the other part is, for example, with The God Delusion, I've read most of it, and I actually listened to the book on tape to make sure I got all of it.
Right.
But the thing is most of the arguments that he was making in that book, I had heard him make before reading the book. So I was like, I already know this. Yeah, I know, like, you know,
that's why
I,
you
like,
read
was,
it first and then you listen.
That's, well, that's with his new book. That's what I'm going to do. You know,
you're
going to
read his new book?
I'm going to. Well, I'm going to buy
it. It's time for the Jeffrey Jones Challenge, everybody.
Uh-oh.
We're going to keep... Okay, give us an estimated time where you're going to read it and review it for everybody that's listening to
it. I'm going to review it on the... Oh.
Yeah. What, you don't want to review it?
Now I have to read it. All right, let's do it.
That's a great challenge. So, you know, we're going to ask...
Give me until second week October, because it's coming out September 22nd, right?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I think it's September 22nd. Give me 3 weeks after it comes out to read it.
Well, I'm going to let the fans decide, you know, because...
Oh, really?
We'll
be
see.
Be generous,
they...
fans. Remember, you love me. Please
they
love
may, they
me.
May turn on you quickly.
They might. I was pretty cold to that Jose's mother. She should be jailed! That's it, man. You got to read a book now.
There you go. That's your punishment. Okay, I think we're going to wrap it up.